Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares begins a lesson about the life-changing message of the gospel.
Be ready with God's gospel message, the good news message. The good news of the gospel is solving a problem that you and I have at being alienated from God. It's about the problem of me being at hostility with God, being at enmity with God, that Christ dying for us while we were still enemies of God. That's the problem. And the solution in Christ is going to be a message of reconciliation.
When it comes to evangelism, we often feel intense pressure to make the perfect pitch, to persuade people to get right with God. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares clearly explains the crux of this life-changing message and what we need to tell others about their relationship with God. We're in Acts chapter 10, verse 30, as Peter shares the gospel with the family and friends who gathered in the home of a Roman centurion named Cornelius. Now here's Pastor Mike presenting the second message in our series, Amazing Conversions.
Sometimes I go and speak places and it doesn't go well. Like the time I was invited to come speak at this Christian executives, highfalutin, frou-frou conference that frankly was just intimidating when I heard about what it was, but they invited me to come and preach the Bible, so they, I can do that. And it was at the Ritz-Carlton of all places, and don't do many speaking engagements at the Ritz-Carlton, but I said, okay, and I went and had to find my tie in a drawer somewhere, and so I got my suit on. I was ready to go. I pull up, and of course, I'm pretty frugal. I want to do self-parking and whenever I can, but there's no self-parking. This is the Ritz-Carlton, so they kind of wheeled me into the line for the valet, and the valet, they're so good. They opened my door, and, you know, felt like I was getting carjacked at the moment. It's just like, they're really, you know, like, get out, you know, get welcome to the Ritz-Carlton. So, you know, I kind of felt rushed and shoot out of my own car, but quickly grabbed my Bible and my preaching notebook, and I was like, yeah, let's go, and straighten the knot on my tie, walk through this grand entrance of the Ritz-Carlton, and found out where this thing was and made my way down. I had just about the right time to hobnob a little bit and meet these people and get situated and get a microphone on, and they took me up to the front row where all the participants on the platform were going to be, kind of getting up and down from the platform. And so I sat there, the worship song started, and they were going to do like a service, you know, and they couple songs in, and my handler leans over to me and goes, okay, you're going to be up right after this next song. So, you know, I tried the whole time I was sitting there in the front, kind of feel like everyone's looking at it, who's this guy that's going to speak to us, and I tried not to kind of peek at my notes in my little note folder there because I didn't want to act like I wasn't prepared, you know, like I needed to bone up on things real quick before I went up there, so I didn't. But when he said, you're up after this next song, I thought, I got to at least peek at the wording of the introduction. I got to get ready to go with this message. So I opened my folder up, and there it was. Nothing. Empty. You know, preachers have nightmares. And I'll tell you, in all the years, I don't think I've ever had a situation where the nightmare was coming true, because that's a recurring nightmare. I mean, usually I'm like at a service, it's really cool, I'm admiring everything, I'm worshiping, it's all great, and then someone says, okay, you're on, and I'm like, I didn't even know I was speaking, and you wake up in a cold sweat. Because there's nothing worse, really, than people kind of putting the microphone on you, putting you up on the platform, saying, okay, now's the time for you to say something important, and feeling ill-prepared. That's a terrible, horrible feeling. You better do your prep, you better be prepared, you better have everything you need before you stand up and try and say something for God. We've been studying the book of Acts, we've gotten to Acts chapter 10, we've reached the zenith of this discussion, and we have this gospel encounter, and this was a monumental evangelistic encounter, right? Here's a Roman soldier at Caesarea Maritime on the Mediterranean coast, and he's gonna have the apostle of the megachurch in Jerusalem gonna come to his place, and you know, you can picture him there sitting in his front room, and you know, his Roman helmet's on the shelf, and his spear is up against behind the door, and it's just like, here is the Jewish preacher, the apostle, the representative of Christ, and we're about to have a gospel conversation. This is monumental, talking about, you know, getting to that layer of the Gentiles and opening up the ends of the earth that we started with in Acts 1:8. That's a big, big deal. And I know as I'm trying to get us to at least identify this morning with Peter that the next time you have a conversation with a non-Christian, it may not be the monumental, epic, like you're opening up Gentile inclusion into the body of Christ, but I can tell you it feels that way. This passage is not about Christian A bumping into non-Christian B on the subway and they talk about Jesus, right? That's not how this works. This is a big deal. And while we're not living that out, we certainly feel the sweaty palms and the weak knees and the shallow breathing of, man, this is go time now. All that stuff I learn about on the weekend, all the stuff I study in my Bible, you know, everything I'm about as a Christian, time for me to talk about these important, eternally significant things. You're going to feel like that. And here's the deal. I want to this morning make sure you are more prepared when you leave today than you were when you came in. Because it's a horrible thing for you to have now a platform. And it may be across the table at a coffee shop. It may be on the bleachers of your kid's soccer game. But now the conversation has turned. You are Christian A. You got non-Christian B. And you know you got this open door to talk about the most important things in all of eternity. And it's go time. You better be ready. So I want to look at this text, and it's a lengthy text, verses 30 through 48 of Acts chapter 10. If you haven't turned there yet, please get there to that text. Look it up on your phone. Go to esv.org if you want to follow along in the translation that I'm going to be reading from. Did you get there? Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Now remember what we've got. We got now Peter under the roof of Cornelius, the team. He's come with a posse, and Cornelius has got his whole team gathered there, and we pick up the narrative here. Verse 30, ready? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying at my house at the ninth hour, it's mid-afternoon, 3:00. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And you know, we've already studied this in the first 8 verses. This is an angelic being. This is a supernatural appearance of a messenger of God taking on some kind of physical manifestation. And said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms, your giving, your generous giving to the poor and the needy, have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging at the house of Simon, a different Simon, a tanner by the sea. So about 30 miles south on the Mediterranean coast. So I sent for you at once. This is now Cornelius talking to Peter. And you've been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter opened his mouth, and he said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Verse 36, as for the word that he sent to Israel, let's just put a little ellipse there, dot, dot, dot. He's going to then get into his gospel presentation. Now, if you read this in your ESV, you saw a paragraph division and even a heading by your translators and editors there who are putting this together and laying it out in your Bibles, that the end of verse 33, we've got Cornelius done talking, and then Peter picks it up in verse 34. And that'd be a good place to kind of section this off, and Pastor Mike's probably going to get his first point from that first section. But I've included verses 34 and 35, for one, because we spent a whole hour dealing with the first 8 verses of Acts 10, which this is just a recapitulation, a retelling of that story in the first 4 verses. But what I want to show is we get in the sandals of Peter, making sure we're ready for our next monumental discussion with a non-Christian about Christ. I want to be like Peter, who recognizes right out of the gate, listen, I get it now. I should be sharing the gospel with you. I understand God shows no partiality, and of course, we have all the background theologically and ethnically about Jews and Gentiles. We've been through all of that, but he says, I get it. In every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This is, in those 2 verses, 34 and 35, it's a response of Peter to the preparation that Cornelius had just retold, which now Peter's going, I get it. You're the one. Now, Peter had been prepared, Cornelius had been prepared, and he goes, I get that you are the one I should be talking this message to. And that is just a simple observation, and I don't want to take long on it this morning, but it's important for us, if we are going to be fully prepared, when it's go time for us to have a conversation about Christ with a non-Christian, we have to, if you're taking notes, put it down this way. Number one, we have to detect God's pre-conversion work. Now, if you've been with us in this study, that rings a bunch of bells and alarms go off. That's exactly what we studied for 8 verses at the beginning of this chapter. We talked about God's grace in drawing people to the place of being ready to hear the gospel. We dealt with that real difficult doctrinal concern about the fact that Christians are alive in Christ and non-Christians are dead to God, Ephesians chapter 2, and that Romans 3 says there's no one that seeks after God, and yet here is someone that seems to be seeking after God. How does that work? And we talked about in that sermon, and I don't want to re-preach that whole sermon, but that God is doing things pre-conversion in his grace. People don't deserve it. It's not like he's picking the smart people or the spiritually sensitive people. He is creating the spiritual sensitivity and the insight to the gospel, and he's drawing them to a place of then being ready to hear it. Jesus talked a lot about, to him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the question is, well, some people don't have ears to hear. But the point is, you need to hear what I'm about to say. But I know what has happened before this is God's done work to get your ears prepped to hear it. All right, if they're going to see the glory of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4, their eyes need to be unblinded. We need to get that grace of God preparing the non-Christian to hear it. And I say all this about you needing to detect that at some level, because if I say to you, let's go be evangelical like we're supposed to be, everyone in South County, get out there and talk to people about Christ, and we've been saying that in different ways throughout this 10-chapter study. But you don't just go out and talk to everyone all the time in every single conversation about Christ. You know that to be evangelical, there are certain conversations that even any mention of spiritual things, there's like pushback, pushback, pushback. There's people that you sense, even in the sorting out of conversations in your own mind, that they're the kinds of people that are like, we see Paul respond, we see the disciples respond in the Gospels. They don't want to hear this. If you count yourself unworthy of eternal life, we're going to go to the Gentiles, as Paul says later in this book. Or, you know, when Jesus says, kick the dust off from your feet. You know that there's some open doors for discussion, and then there's some closed doors. And I'm not saying there can't be cold contact evangelism, and there's a place for that. But even in cold contact evangelism, there's some people, when they know you want to talk about spiritual things or eternal things or Christ or Christianity or religion or sin or heaven and hell, they don't want to talk about it. But then there's people that are being prepped. And all I'm saying is think through that series, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to our first sermon in this chapter. In this first sermon in this chapter, we talked about God's work of preparing Cornelius to hear the message. And that's why you can't misread what's going on in verse 35. If you want to get the whole sentence, verses 34 and 35. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And if you say, well, there you go, it doesn't matter if the Buddhist, you know, is a Christian or not, or the Muslim is a Christian, it's just as long as they're kind of, you know, doing the right things, they're morally good, and they kind of fear God, the greater power. I don't know, you can go through AA and still come out with this idea of like, the God, there's a God. See, they don't need Christianity. Well, that would be to divorce the entire verse from the context. The point is, he has that pre-conversion grace, that God's favor in giving him this mind and this heart and these ears and these eyes, so to speak, to comprehend the gospel. And that's why this whole thing was happening. He needs the gospel. That's the point. Jesus is needing to be his king, his Lord, his savior, his redeemer. And that's why Peter and the posse is there. They're there to share the message. And all I'm saying is, those indicators we looked at in Cornelius's life that are just briefly summarized here, that he fears God and he does what is right, these are the indicators that God is at work, right? These are the indicators that God is getting this person ready. Who is it in my life that I sense that's happening? You start the conversations, you get into the conversation about Christianity and Christ, you start to see that. Sometimes it's intuitive because the doors actually start to open. It's like, hey, we just had a conversation about Christianity because God has been working on them. But think about that. I mean, unless the conversation gets to Christianity, you're not going to know just by throwing the topic out. Sometimes you need to think, well, I've heard about their dealing with this situation in their life or their failed marriage or the problem they're having over here with something going on or their desire to do good or talking about doing things with integrity even though no one sees them. Maybe God is at work in this person's life. And maybe their ears are being opened to hear the message that I am there to bring to them. Love to spend more on that, but we've talked a lot about it in the past. But start looking for that. Say, God, help me to see that. Where is, as we say in our family, where's the low-hanging fruit in these relationships where I feel like these people are ready? The fields are white for harvest here in this relationship, in this life, in this family. Number two, look at verse 36. Now the message starts, right? Here he is in verse 36, actually starting the discussion about the gospel. As for the word, now look back up at what he says in verse 33. He says, Now, therefore, we're all here in the presence of God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord. We want to hear the message, the word, the thing that you've got to say. So now he's going to start saying it in verse 36. Verse 36. As for the word that he sent to Israel, the reason I, as a Jewish apostle, am here in the Roman centurion's home in Caesarea, the gospel's to the Jew first and also the Greek. So we got the message. Came based on the covenants of the Old Testament, on the Abrahamic covenant, just as the foundational sense that Israel was going to be chosen to bring this blessing to the nations. Preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. Let's just start, first of all, with that phrase, preaching good news. The message comes preaching good news. The whole point of this is you being prepared to share the message of the good news. Euangelion. Euangelion, we've talked about this many times. This word good, angelion, get the word angel from it, transliterated into English. The messenger, we think of angels, but the angelos, or the word, that the message itself, we have a good message. We call it in kind of a transliteration, the evangelical, or the evangelical message. It's the message of good news. In Old English, the gospel. The gospel, the good news, the message, euangelion, the evangelistic thing that we say is a good message. And it's God's message, and he gave it first to Israel. And if, let's say, Cornelius comes to faith and then recognizes he's called to be ambassador, well, he takes that message that came to Israel, and he's now going to take it with him and be an ambassador of that message, just like we, 2,000 years later, on the other side of the globe, doing the same thing. We have to know what it is. We have to be ready with it to share it. So I put it this way. Let's give a heading to all these seven subpoints here. Number two, be ready with God's gospel message, the good news message. So what is the good news message? That is what we want to spend time with. Now, we got seven things real quick we just want to see. Remember a couple things. Number one, this is a synopsis, a summary of what was said. If you read this and time yourself reading it out loud, I guarantee you that Peter spent more time than whatever it takes for you to read it. So these are the high points. These are the summarized statements. Of course, they're not just Luke's, you know, decisions on it. God's Spirit is driving Luke to record these statements. And so we recognize what we have here needs to be fleshed out in our thinking. And to me, that's the whole point of this message anyway. We look at these topics. You read things, if you glance through it, like about the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. I get all that, right? God, Christ is good. Listen, it's like you saying to me, tell me about your kids. You know, I really want to know. And I say, yeah, I got three kids. Yeah, Matt and John and Stephanie. And then I'm silent. And my wife said, did you tell them about our kids? Well, yeah, I told them, Matt, John, and Stephanie. I guess that is telling, but it doesn't tell me anything about your kids. If I say to you, go out there and share the gospel, and you just dump some lines on them, you know, oh, yeah, it was a sin problem, God loves you, Christ, perfect, died, rose, repent, faith, do that. That's not going to work. That is not going to work. You're going to have to explain these things. As I said years ago to people that took it more literally than I wanted them to, you should be able to wake me up at 2 a.m. and say, what does it mean that Christ died on the cross? Why did Christ have to be resurrected? What's the problem of sin all about? The 2 a.m. gospel test is you ought to be able to explain what these things mean. Flesh these out. So let's take the high points here in this and let's say, okay, I got to understand this. First thing, here it is. It is a message of good news of what? What's the word? Middle of verse 36. The word that was sent to Israel preaching good news of peace. Now, I know it's going to be about Christ because it's through Christ. He's Lord of all. But let's just take that phrase of peace. Okay. Now, if I don't understand that in theological context, I might think, yeah, I got some bad relationship with people. I do need some peace. And you might even be tempted to think that because the context is about the first Gentile convert, and it's about Jews and Gentiles getting along. Because, you know, it even says Jesus is Lord of all, and the all must mean Gentiles and Jews and Scythians and barbarians and free and slave. That's what this is getting. Well, that is true. There is a sense of a unification, and the barrier being broken down, and the context certainly speaks to that aspect of it. But the gospel, or the good news of peace, is not about you kind of getting along in your family better or with your coworkers better. The good news of the gospel is solving a problem that you and I have at being alienated from God. Isaiah 59:2, it's about your sins and my sins making a separation between us and God. It's about Adam being cast out of the garden in Genesis. It's about the problem of me being at hostility with God, being at enmity with God, that Christ dying for us while we were still enemies of God. That's the problem. And the solution in Christ is going to be a message of reconciliation, bringing these hostile parties together. Because if you're just talking about relational peace, Jesus made it clear. Hey, I didn't come to the world to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I'm going to set a man against the members of his own family. Talk about close relationships. My message of the gospel is going to split people up, right? Oh, it's going to bring people together in the church, whether it's a centurion from Caesarea or a preacher from Jerusalem. It doesn't matter their ethnic background, their socioeconomic strata. They're all going to be one in Christ. But the real issue is a message of salvation of sinners. It's a message about peace with God. If you're taking notes, put that next to verse 36 there. We're giving a message about peace with God. And if that sounds like a yawner to you, you've been in our church too long, and you don't realize that's not what people are saying about the gospel out there. They're saying, hey, you got some problems? Your life is hard? Get some Jesus. Get Jesus. Be a Christian. And the caricature of that is the prosperity gospel. I got to move from my apartment to a house. I got a house to a bigger house. I need a car or a greater car. God, Christ's going to solve all these problems. The real problem Christ came to solve, whether you're rich or poor and never own a car, is that you are at enmity with God because of your status as a sinner and your confirmation of that status by your acts of sin make it only worse. You and God are at odds with each other and you need to be reconciled to God. That's the message of peace. Can bring peace on earth. I read that on a Christmas card once. I think that's in the Bible, Luke 2, right? Well, you need to read it in your Bible very carefully. This is about peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. That's a very specific discussion of what that means. Preached on that at length and why there's a King James difference and all the rest. You can get those sermons. But the idea is this is not about, you know, everyone's copacetic. I know it was the soundtrack for the Coke commercial back in the 80s or whatever. We're singing about, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and it's supposed to make us all kind of get along. The gospel's not going to make us get along. The gospel's really going to divide us because of that last phrase in this verse, he is Lord of all. And if he's your Lord, then guess what? We're brothers. If he's not your Lord, we got problems. Right? There is an issue of division. The real concern of the gospel is you're bringing them a message about peace with God. Just know that going in. Any conversation where I'm going to unpack my understanding of the Bible and Christianity is really about you getting right with your Maker. That's what this is about.
Join us again tomorrow to hear more about the life-changing message. This is Focal Point with pastor and Bible teacher Mike Fabares. And keep listening because Pastor Mike will be back in just a moment. In the meantime, to hear this message again or to listen to more teaching from Pastor Mike, just go to our website, focalpointradio.org. And we hope you'll keep listening to Focal Point, whether it's on the radio, online, or through our Focal Point app. But making these programs widely available is only possible thanks to generous listeners like you who donate to this ministry. So will you join with us today by making a financial gift? Your donations truly make a difference. Here's the number to call, 888-320-5885. Again, that's 888-320-5885. Or give online at focalpointradio.org. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you a perfect book to help you share the life-changing message with others, titled Body of Proof by Dr. Jeremiah Johnston. In it, you'll get all the evidence you need to know for sure that Jesus was raised from the dead and he lives today. It's a timely book that will help keep your heart and mind centered on Easter all year long. Again, call 888-320-5885 or give online at focalpointradio.org. Well, now, as promised, here's Pastor Mike.
Hi, Pastor Mike Fabares here. In the summer of 2024, I'll be teaching the Bible on a 7-day cruise to Alaska. I want you to come with me. From August the 4th through August 11th, 2024, we're going to discover the splendor of God's Word while we explore the rugged beauty of the Alaskan coast. Join us for world-class dining, daily teaching, worship. It'll be an unforgettable experience. So don't wait to book your spot. Visit focalpointministries.org/Alaska to learn more.
Thanks, Pastor Mike. To get more information, go to focalpointministries.org/Alaska. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy, inviting you back again tomorrow to hear part two of The Life-Changing Message from Pastor Mike Fabares. That's coming up Thursday, right here on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. Ever wish you could corner your pastor and challenge him with your toughest questions about the Bible, about faith? Well, now you can. Send me your questions. Head on over to focalpointradio.org and click on Ask Pastor Mike.
or send me a note on facebook.com/pastormike or twitter.com/pastormike. I can't wait to hear from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.